Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
All right, Roger is going to share about the God that he knows for us.
So when Jess speaks about Psalm 25, that's really what hit me this morning. But anyway, the God I know has saved me by his amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. These words will resonate with me forever. Saved by the grace of God many times with close shaves on my life, early life, I suspected that God was there with me even then, saving my life time and time again from various accidents. In spite of my rebellion, making risky and sometimes deceitful choices, leading a double life at times. I still felt sometimes that God was some sort of fiction, but I often felt very alone with a survivalist mindset. I had issues with my list of expectations and a sense of entitlement of God's provision. That was also a big part of my problem, or the problem, my problem. This was like a growing cancer on my soul, until it all came to a head just over 4 years ago. Acting in defiance of God's wisdom and sadly with consequently trashed sacred Christian values, I regret this past and I take full responsibility for it. Much aligned with the words of Ecclesiastes, in the end, there was futility and vainglory in all the pursuits of a materialistic and hedonistic lifestyle. A misfit who was seeking approval from others, from peers, being rejected by those who I thought I'd loved, getting angry, sad and self-pitying. It has taken me decades to finally realise, accept and depend upon God's grace and his word. So now I live for the truth. It has taken me over 4 years to turn my spirit around. Maybe I was a slow learner or just plain sceptical. So now going forward, and under 3 minutes, hopefully, with God's help, I am prayerfully committed to loving myself and others in more godly ways. As Mel said a couple of weeks ago, God is ordering my steps and he is restoring my spirit as he would intend. I have felt God's presence in the ways that various people have interacted with me through my unspoken word, situations and events playing out in order that could not be mere coincidence. God has provided, even when resources have been tight, he's answered my prayers in all sorts of wonderful ways. He helps me solve issues, organises timings of events, and even sometimes changes traffic lights. Amen. But most importantly, he helps me to forgive, to apologise when I need to, and grow in my spirit, and to love others. Yes, I've stumbled and stuffed things up with loved ones out of my rebellion with God and them. However, through his grace, God is teaching me to be a better version of myself. And as I lean upon his wisdom and choose to ignore the worldly noise for telling me to give up and go with whatever feels good. And if I can just quote the words of Max Lucado in this wonderful book that a wonderful friend gave me few years ago. Rather than conjure up reasons to feel good about yourself, trust God's verdict. If God loves you, you must be worth loving. If he wants you to, if he wants to have you in his kingdom, then you must be worth having. God's grace invites you, no, requires you to change your attitude about yourself and take sides with God against your feelings of rejection. So I'm so thankful that God has saved me through his amazing grace. Thank you.
Amazing. Thank you, Roger. So today we're going to finish off our series on prayer, but Roger is just giving us a sneak peek as to what we're doing after Easter and learning all about the God that we know and equipping us to be able to share our story like Roger just did. So if you don't know me, I can't remember if I already introduced myself. I'm Jess. You get my name twice in case I already have. But We're going to dive into the Word together today, and I want to start off with words that a preacher and author, John Mark Comer, has said before, and he goes, "When we eliminate hurry, we create space for God to work in and through us." When we eliminate hurry. So, I'm not a parent, in case you're wondering, but I'm practicing on my phone. So I'm doing this thing called that he calls parenting your phone. So my phone has a space in the TV cabinet that it gets plugged onto charge, and it goes to bed before I go to bed. So I put it in there and I say, good night, see you later. It's really good, it doesn't cry during the night. So I get to go to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, I don't just roll over and grab my phone like I used to. My alarm goes off and I switch it off, and if I want to stay in bed, I just have to lie there. I can't just scroll social media and hope that I'll still make it on time for work afterwards. So I am now, because of that, able to get up, go about my morning, either exercise or prayer or read my Bible, whatever I want to do. And then it's only as I'm walking out the door, I'm like, oh, I better go wake my phone up. Better bring that with work to me. So that has allowed me to create time within my schedule and within my day. So I do not feel as hurried, and I feel closer to God. So your God loves you so much that he doesn't actually want to rule over you. He doesn't want to force you into anything, but he does want us to turn to him. Instead of our phone, instead of that relationship or that addiction or that work, he wants us to turn to him. He simply wants to have relationship with you. It's all he wants. And one of the best ways that we can do that is through prayer, which is why it's so good that we're talking about it. So there's no specific words, there's no order, there's no thing that you have to do before you can just turn to God and start talking to him and start praying to him. So who do you go to first when you get good news? Or who do you turn to when something bad happens? Or what about those things that you don't really want to tell anyone about, and then it just keeps getting worse and worse and you just kind of feel stuck? So all of those things and more, God already knows. That he just wants you to tell him anyway. He wants you to turn and run to him first, even when you've got amazing news. Say, hey, God, look at this cool thing that happened. Because in James 1:17, it says, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Or what about those times when you think, my world is falling apart, and God, I've got no idea what to do. In Psalms 138, it says, as soon as I pray, you answer me. You encourage me by giving me strength. So God desires to be involved, but he will not force you into that situation. He has already made that first move. You don't need to wait for him to come to you. He already made the first move by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, for your sin, for your shame. Now he is waiting, waiting for us to be ready, turn to him, to tell him the highs, to tell him the lows, the good, the bad, the boring, the frustrations, everything, any situation, he's there, ready, waiting for you. So he is just hoping that you will allow him in, that he will become your best friend in every and any situation, that you can turn to at any moment, day or night. And he will always be ready. Because in James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Not do a song and dance, turn around three times. Just come near. Come near to God. So even in the midst of preparing this message, I had a moment where I went to my husband Dan. I was like, I don't know what to do. I've just said to you, I'll do X, Y, and Z, and I've committed to this thing, and I still haven't gone to the gym, and I still need to do X, Y, and Z, and I just couldn't fathom in my brain what was going on and what I needed to prioritize. And he was like, all right, it's okay. Why don't you go for that walk, pray while you're walking, go to the gym, do your thing, and come back, and then it will be okay. Like, work it out from there. I was like, okay, I'm putting on my gym clothes, like, do I really have time to go to the gym? I know I need to, but I don't know if I've got time. And as soon as I walked outside and just started praying, I felt God say, I was ready to give you those answers. I was ready to help you. You forgot to turn to me. I was like, thank you, God. Also, thank you for still talking to me, even when I forget to turn to you first. So what does this actually look like in our lives? How can we come to God with everything? Do you have to be in church? Do you have to be by yourself? Do you have to be with other people? What does it even look like? So we're going to unpack these few little verses in Matthew 6 that is right before God says the Lord, Jesus talks about the Lord's Prayer, where his disciples ask, teach us to pray. How do we pray? And Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So if we go down verse by verse, in verse 5, that we do not need to be like people standing and yelling on street corners or praying these fancy words at the front in church. And it isn't necessarily saying in that verse that praying in public or praying in your streets and praying in church is bad. It's the heart that matters. So if we're praying there to be seen by everyone, like I'm praying, yep, everyone's watching me, perfect, they all know I'm good with God, not what we're meant to do. And that's what this is saying. It's all about bringing God into that situation. So we can pray on those streets if we want God to come into those streets. If we want God to be in our neighborhood, then let's be praying in the streets and inviting God into that space. And we want to be praying in church because we want God in church. We don't want a church without God whatsoever. And we want God to move and we want him to change in our lives and the people around us' lives. And that is why we can pray in public. In verse 6, oh, it gets so good. Go into your room and pray to your Father. Go into a place with just you and God to pray. Go to a place without distractions to pray. Find your place that you can talk openly and honestly to God, whether that is physically out loud or just in your head, that you are not distracted by people, by the housework, by work, by technology. So I love to go for a walk and leave my phone behind, and Dan loves that when he can't contact me. Promise I'm okay. But I love to go for walks and just pray. Sometimes some people have a little chair that's just their chair, that every time they sit down into that chair, that is where they pray, and they don't use that chair for anything else. if you've got enough money to have a whole room that you can dedicate to praying with God, let me know. I'll come use it too. But creating a space that you know is for you and God. So we can train our brain that when I go to that chair, or when I go for that walk without my headphones on, or when I go into that room, that's my time to focus on God. And my brain will start to come along with the journey for us. So in verse 7, explains that our prayers do not have to be these big, elaborate words that sound like something that would have come out of Shakespeare. Our words can be simple. Our words can be like we're just talking to our friend, just sitting in front of them, having a conversation, or on the phone to your parents. You can just say whatever you want, however you'd like to say it. Nothing fancy. And sometimes I will walk away from a situation, and to bring God into it, I'm just like, thank you, thank you, thank you. That was amazing. And keep going. Right? That's me bringing God into it. Sometimes I'll get into the car and just scream, just yell, no words, just there. And then really hope that no one could hear me from outside the car. But sometimes I just come to God and say, God, I'm so mad. I am so frustrated at this situation. And I know that there's probably something you're wanting to tell me right now, but I would rather just be mad. And I tell him how it is, and then I sit with that and allow him to change that. But I don't just hold in the frustrations, because God wants me to bring it to him, so I do. In verse 8, last one, your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. He already knows what you're trying to avoid, what you're trying to cover up. He already knows about the really cool things and the really not cool things that are happening. And that certain area in your life that you're just trying to shove into a box, he knows it. But he still wants us to bring it to him. So unlike me, if you tell me a story I already know, I'll start finishing it for you. Or if you told me something twice, be like, yeah, I got it the first time, thanks. God wants to hear it. God wants you to be like, he's like, yeah, tell me again. Oh, you got a different perspective on it? Tell me again. Come to me again with that thing. And every time we just keep turning our eyes to God, keep turning our attention to God, it builds that faith muscle within us. It reminds us that there's hope for that situation and that God can work in that situation. So I encourage you this week to find a space that is quiet and that it's just you and God. No distractions, and be in that secret place with you and God. Tell him about your day, your thoughts, your struggles, the exciting things. And it's in these quiet moments that we can even ask God questions. Like, what's your heart for this situation, God? You've heard my monologue for 5 minutes, but what's your heart for this situation? Or what would you like me to do today, God? Or how am I meant to respond to this thing? Because if I had it my way, it wouldn't look too good. And God will often speak, regardless of where we are, but it's often us that need the quiet. The quiet so that we can actually hear him. And when I first started practicing this whole speaking and then giving God time to speak within my prayer life, he gave me these three little words, and they were stay the course. He showed me and led me to different conversations that I had, and I just, in my mind, I kept thinking about random things, and he led me that night to looking online to a website called, for an organization called Youth with a Mission, and led me to this discipleship training school. That was a 6 months training school in Townsville, a whole year before I even went. And that whole year leading up to it, and that six months of doing it, every time something about what I should do or my future or what if I did this instead, every time I went to God, he said, stay the course. I've already told you, stay the course. I've laid it out for you, stay the course. And so that enabled me, the words that he'd already spoken, I could hang on to. And it would help guide me through my journey. So now praying in secret and by yourself is powerful and demonstrated by so many people in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament so frequently. It's not necessarily the only way that we can pray. So we can pray in public or in groups, because Jesus also said in Matthew 18, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them also. So when we gather, even with one other believer, one other person, God is there with us. He is agreeing with us. And again, the same rules apply for when we're praying by ourselves. We can go to God and we can say whatever we need to say, whether that's in tears, whether that's stomping around, whether it's declaring things. We can do that with other people as well. And God is right there. And I so love coming to our prayer meetings here at church, because you hear everybody else praying for all about these things. And it reminds me that, yeah, you're right, God is a healer. I can pray for that thing. Oh yeah, God is still doing miracles, even here within this church. I should pray for this thing. Or praying for the prodigal sons and daughters to come back to God, that God wants to do that. Hearing others pray encourages me and builds up that faith within me that, yeah, I can pray that thing too. Yeah, I can pray for something that in my earthly mind thinks is impossible, but God has a way. I can believe in the impossible again. So Matthew 17, he says, I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing could be impossible, would be impossible. So I encourage you, when you gather with even just one other person, whether that's catching up for a coffee, going on a walk with a friend, hanging on the couch with your spouse, phone calls, whatever it is, if you're with your family, at the dinner table, where any two are gathered, Jesus is right there. He is right there agreeing with you. Yes, let that thing happen. Yes. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't really have anyone in my world outside this church that I could pray with, that's okay. We also want to pray within this church. And so although we have our prayer meetings every week, one on Wednesday morning or the other week, one on Tuesday evening, we are starting and have started a whole bunch of different prayer groups. So if you feel extra passionate about one thing, we're trying to get a group for it. So we've got healing, intercessory, parents. Every parent, including me for my phone, needs prayer. Revival in this place, salvation. We want to see those people in our world get saved. Come and pray with us. Be strengthened. Build up that faith muscle by coming. Come to one of those whole church prayer meetings. This week, got two for you. Even better. Monday night, 6 p.m. Tuesday night, 6 p.m., 30 minutes. Come and pray with us for 30 minutes about our Easter services. Well, this week, if you are so stuck and have no idea what to pray for those people that either you or the people in this church are inviting to Easter next week. pray for those people. So the Psalms is a book in the Bible, huge book. You just split the book, like open up your Bible. It's probably right there, smack bang in the middle. And it's a whole bunch of prayers, mostly from King David. King David talking to God. And I tell you, even if in those little chapters, we can sometimes go for a whole roller coaster of emotions, from everything's amazing, God, to everything sucks, where are you, to oh, maybe you're good, God. We go from we see his whole emotions, his highest of faith moments and his lowest of doubt moments, all within that book. And some people think, why is he so all over the place? And I think, no, I'm exactly like that. And I want to be able to come to God exactly as I am. And that's what I think is amazing about King David, is he came to God exactly how he was. And in everything, he spoke to God. So I'm going to encourage you with Psalms 25. I'm going to read a little portion of it today. But I encourage you this week to read all of Psalms 25 from the start to the end. It's not too long. It just talks about the different ways that God can love us and that we can connect with God. So we're going to read it together now from verse 4. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me. For you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. So you today might be here, and you've never really spoken to this God. Never really known that you could pray or have a relationship with him where you actually invite him into your heart and as him as your Savior. And so if that is you today, in a moment, I want to give you the opportunity to invite Jesus into your heart and make him the Lord of your life. So what's involved is saying a short prayer all together, and then I'm going to invite you afterwards to raise your hand so that one of our team can meet you after the service and talk to you after the service. So we're all just going to close our eyes and just focus on God. And if that's you today, I really want you to pray this prayer for yourself. So all together, thank you, Jesus, for dying for my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins. I ask you to be my Lord and guide me for the rest of my life. Help me to follow you all the days of my life.
Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.